This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. Here's your host, John Granato.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Charlie Epps, live from Houston, Texas, on SB Nation Radio from 1560 The Game in Houston, Texas. We're going to talk a little golf, as always. We're joined by our good friend and great, great golf professional, Bill Harmon. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing pretty darn good. I've had a nice evening with my family. Got up early this morning, a cup of coffee, read the paper. I saw that, you know, it's an interesting game that we talk about and we play, and the new season has already started. And Lahiri, an Indian professional, the best player that comes out of India, is leading and playing very, very well. And he didn't go through junior golf like most of these kids do today and have everything. He just came from, you know, I guess one of the poorest countries in the world, 6 billion people or however many, and he's leading the tour. How about that?
Well, the game is so global now, which is terrific. As you know, Charlie, growing up in Argentina, look at all the good young players coming out of Argentina right now that probably didn't have the benefit of tremendous instruction or advantage. And I think once you get to the tour, it's quite an advantage, really, to have had to kind of fight and scratch and claw to even get that far and not have anything given to you. And I think that players like Lahiri and Griot and people that have come from poor backgrounds, they just want opportunity, and they don't feel pressure, I think, like some other people do, because their pressure was just to have a chance. And once they got the chance, they seemed to be able to get the job done.
Well, you know, last week we had Blaine McAllister on celebrating his induction into the Texas Golf Hall of Fame. And now there's a kid that learned how to play golf on the golf course. Not on the driving range, not on the, you know, with somebody looking over every swing of his. He went out and found it, you know. He was impressed when he came to Houston that there were trees on a golf course. He didn't know what a bunker was. But yet,
well, I think there's an advantage to that. I think it makes you tougher. I think it makes you appreciate things a little bit more. You know, Jason Day came from very humble beginnings, it seems like. So there's been a lot of good players that have not come from advantaged backgrounds. And so when they do get into the hunt or they have a chance to win a tournament, they seem to be a little tougher because of their upbringing.
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's just like our main sponsor, Insperity. You know, they inspire people to do better. You know, they get help to the right people, and they grow businesses. Well, golf is the same way. You know, you have somebody who inspires you to do better. You know, whether it's an Arnold Palmer or somebody, there's always somebody behind the scenes that has impressed people the right way. And we learn from Tiger Woods. He's back in the news, more on the social aspect of it, on Stephen Colbert, but his father was a big influence in his life and convinced him that the only way you get better is hard work. And what did you think about Tiger this week in the news that he's making?
A couple things. I think that Tiger has inspired, you know, many of the young players will tell you that they were inspired by Tiger. So I think that's what all the great players of each generation do. They inspire others to either take up golf or to be successful at golf. You know, it was very interesting when he was asked about catching Jack's majors. He basically said he plans on exceeding Jack, not just getting to 18 and getting to more. So, you know, I don't doubt Tiger Woods for the most part. What he achieved in a 15, 20-year period is probably the greatest 15 or 20-year period ever played in the game. So, and he achieved it because he thought outside the box. And, you know, he said very early on that second place sucked, and we thought he was being kind of flippant. But I would say that his career has kind of validated his vision, his ability to think that he can win, and he did it. And so it doesn't surprise me that he would say that about Nicklaus's record. But at the same time, when he's not even healthy enough to play in a golf tournament, it's hard to imagine him winning all these tournaments again and winning certainly five or six more majors when we don't even know at the moment if he can walk or participate in a 72-hole event. So I don't doubt his vision. I don't doubt his dedication and desire, but we just don't know if Mother Nature is going to cooperate for him.
You know, he's not afraid to step it up. I mean, and put that goal up. You know, it's kind of like being a pole vaulter. You know, I'm going to get to 24 feet, and
sure, set the bar high.
You know, and he has done that. And he told a little story about him, his relationship with Spieth at the Ryder Cup, and he says, you know, Spieth, you were in diapers when I won my first major. But that being said, then Tiger's record was one of the things that got Spieth going as a young boy. You know, he started to say, hey, I can win, I can do this. And interesting. So do you think really that he can beat Jack's record? Can he win five majors at the age of 41?
I don't think he can, but it doesn't make any difference. I never thought he would achieve what he achieved, to be honest with you. And he achieved these things because he wasn't afraid to, like you say, put it out there. He was never afraid to be the man. He had to accept all the trappings that went through it because of it and all the attention. And he learned to block us all out, really, and to stiff arm everybody because he had a goal to be the greatest player that ever lived. And who knows, had his health, I think if he would have stayed healthy, he would have gotten all these records. But the fact of the matter is, Jack's numbers are in the book. They've already been accomplished and achieved. And at the moment, from a major standpoint, Tiger's numbers are not as good as Jack, but no, I don't think he'll do it, but it's not because he's not capable. I don't think his body will allow him to play and practice the way he would need to do it.
And that's a good lesson for everybody to learn about exercise, and exercise and being in shape is very, very important, but you can't overdo it. And a lot of guys that are so driven, sometimes they go overboard, and you got to keep everything in perspective. And I always like what Jack said, don't make golf more important than it really is, because a lot of kids today, by the time they get to 15 or 16, are burnt out, and because they're playing so much at the age of 12, 13, 14, and that causes a lot of strain and on their muscles, on their wrists, and Michelle Wee's done at the age of 30. So you've got to really pace yourself. Golf's a game of a lifetime.
Yeah, we have a bunch of great young players, you know, that are on the injured list now. Jason Day, yeah. Justin Rose, marvelous players, and they're actually not playing because they're injured right now.
So it's a game of of, you know, golf is such an addictive sport. I like any sport, but golf especially. And you want to play it 24/7. You play it 54 holes a day, you know. So, but, you know, one thing that we want to set now, Bill, before we have our guest, one of your great friends, Bill Haas, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But we're going to talk about what's going to happen in this new season. Who's going to be the stars? Who's going to win the majors? I'm Charlie Epps. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation, live from Houston, Texas. Stay right back. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Bill Harmon.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
The mic is hot. Thank you very much. This segment is brought to you by InternationalProAm.com in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, December 5th through the 10th. The best tournament that I know of, the best tournament where you can go have fun every day, play three great golf courses, stay in a beautiful Casa Magna Marriott, have the great service of the people that have worked at the Casa Magna for so many years. They love entertaining, making their guests happy, great rooms, great food, the best guacamole in town. But more importantly, that the people that go there, and there will be about 500 to 600 people there, having fun from all over the country. So next year, if you want to reward yourself, log on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com, get all the information, get yourself a team, and I promise you I'll buy the first margarita in Mexico next year. There's still room this year, but you're probably not organized enough to do that, especially with the holidays. So PuertoVallartaProAm.com, it's a lot of fun. We're here with Bill Harmon this morning talking golf. You know, the great movie Follow the Sun. We're following the sun every week in golf. There's not an off season anymore. They're playing over in Kuala Lumpur in Pacific Rim. But Bill, in reviewing this year, I would have to say of the four majors, the biggest gift and the biggest surprise was Danny Willett winning the major. Winning the Masters.
Well, I think you'd have to agree with that. He's obviously a good player, but he really hasn't played well since the Masters. Just interesting how some people, after they win a major, don't perform shortly thereafter. Anyway, it's almost like the demands on their time and the pressure to validate, let's say, your position in golf might be a little bit too much at the start, but Danny looks like a very talented player. Looks like he's wired pretty tight, though, to me. Looks like he's a tight-strung guy. So it'll be interesting to see how his career develops and whether he wins another major. But, you know, you look at a guy like Martin Kramer, who's won two majors and a Players' Championship, which I put up there almost with a major. And he doesn't really perform consistently well either, but when he gets in the hunt in a big tournament, he seems to handle it. Maybe that's what kind of player Danny Willett is. That when he gets in the hunt and ready for the big moment, he knows how to deal with it.
Who's your early pick for 2017 for the Masters?
Well, you know, Charlie, you and I have talked about this off air about, you know, who's going to be number one at the end of next year. And you know, the obvious choices are DJ and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and Justin Day. You know, I think McIlroy has the biggest upside of all of those players. And then I'd put DJ next and then Day and Jordan Spieth. But, you know, Jordan Spieth is a little bit like Tiger. He doesn't have Tiger's power. But he's a little bit like Tiger in the sense that he doesn't mind putting it out there that he wants to be the best player in the world. And he was for quite a while. And so I think we have some great talent, tremendous players vying for number one. But I think that Rory has the biggest upside. And DJ is right behind them when it comes to the upside, the length and the nerves and things like that. If Rory consistently putts well, I think he'll blow the people off the planet.
Who's going to win the Masters?
Yes. I do.
I think DJ, Dustin. I think it's set up for him that if he behaves himself over the winter and comes out of the spring and you know, like he should, I think he's got to be the odds-on favorite. We went to the U.S. Open, and that was quite a display that he did at Oakmont. DJ, Dustin Johnson, won in precarious situations with bad rulings and so on and so forth. And they're going to a new golf course, Irwin Hills, nobody's ever seen or heard of. Who's going to be the U.S. Open champion?
Well, the name of the course is Erin Hills.
Well, Irwin.
I've got to correct you once it shows. Yeah. That's what I do.
100%.
I know very little about the golf course. I would imagine the players know less. So that kind of, in many ways, opens it up a little bit. Because no one has a real advantage in knowing the course. Sometimes the major champions, some of the veterans, championships, some of the veterans have played a certain course a couple times in competition, and it gives them a little bit of an upside advantage. But I really wouldn't know what to say about that because I don't know anything about the golf course. So once again, Justin Rose is a very good U.S. Open player, won at Marion. He's another guy on the IR list with a bad back. Another kid that appears to be in physically great shape, but his body's not helping him out. But I think Justin Rose, he doesn't putt as good as the other four that we've talked about. I don't think anybody putts as good as Jordan Spieth. I think he's the best putter I've seen maybe since Tiger Woods' prime. So I couldn't tell you. I don't know enough about the golf course to see who would have an advantage.
Is Reed going to do anything in the majors this coming year? Patrick.
Yeah, that's a good question. He hasn't really historically played well in the majors. He doesn't have a great major record at this point. So I don't put him in the class of those other players personally. He's a tenacious competitor and wants it and is very good and mean enough and selfish enough to be one of those great players, but his record so far in the majors doesn't seem to warrant the attention that the other four that we've been talking about does.
Here's my pick. Sergio Garcia. I think it's a Lynx type golf course. I think he's coming of age at his age. There's a lot of guys that win their first major at 36, 37. Hogan, Angel Cabrera. I think Sergio could get it done.
Well, he's a marvelous player, and he seems to have kind of gotten over the hump. You know, he's a much better putter. He seems to have matured a little bit. Doesn't seem to quite have the play the role of the victim as well as he used to. And maybe he has matured enough to get it done on the big stage. But I think he's got kind of a lot of major championship demons. He'll have to overcome a lot internally, I think, to win a major. And the other guys don't have to overcome it because they've already done it.
I think the best major of the year was the Open Championship, the British Open. I think the 36 holes, the 18, final 18 with Mickelson and Henrik was just outstanding. And we think Henrik will repeat a major coming up?
I don't put anything past Henrik Stenson. I think he is such a phenomenal ball striker. And his putting has improved dramatically. He's gone to a new putting coach in the last couple of years. I don't put anything past Henrik.
All right. Well, that's the music. We're going to come back with Bill Harmon and talk golf, see what he's doing in the off season. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, a company that will inspire business performance. And we're live from Gal Communications on SB Nation.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Your host is Charlie Epps, and it's my pleasure here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, to welcome a young man that has really, so far, has such a great career, not only on the PGA Tour, but in college at Wake Forest. And he was born in Charlotte, North Carolina. I didn't realize that, 1982. He's played in 301 tournaments, turned professional in 2004. He has two children. He is really, I think, my pick, and I'm going to put the pressure on him, going to win the PGA this year. But I want to welcome Bill Haas to the show, and Bill, take it over.
Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? We have
good. Thank you.
Somebody that's close to your family, to your career, Mr. Bill Harmon, on the line, and he's got a couple questions for you.
Good morning, there, Bill. How you doing?
What's up, Billy?
How you doing? All right.
Yeah, doing good. Thanks.
Good. I want to start off with a kind of a tough question. Given the success that you had at the President's Cup and the incredible finish, how difficult was it for you to not make the Ryder Cup team this year?
It is difficult to be on those teams and be in a team room. You know what you're missing, and that's just a team that I've wanted to make since being on tour, and I feel like each year that it's been, the last 6 years, every other year, I've been close. And so to have a little bit of a taste of it and feel like you could make the team with one or two good finishes at the end of the year, it's disappointing to not perform and not make those teams.
Bill, when you start another year, like we just finished this, do you wish you had more time off, or do you feel pressure to have to go play in some of these early tournaments, or are you going to take more time off until the first of the year?
Yeah, I think it is what it is, Charlie. I mean, we'd all love more time off in any job we do, I assume, but the fact is they're giving us, you know, there's great tournaments to be played in the fall and great opportunity to, you know, try to get out on a good start for the year, and then that would make your November and December even better if you could somehow win in the fall. You know, Brendan Steele just winning out there the first term of the year. I mean, his whole year, in a sense, is kind of set up. He can play and pick where he wants, and there's probably a good chance he'll make the tour championship. And, you know, he's probably now, his goal is probably to make the President's Cup team. So I think the fall series create a great opportunity for all of us to really make our years relaxed, or you could change your goals. And I think it's a good thing. It's certainly, like you said, everybody'd love more time off, but we're pretty lucky to have, you know, eight or so tournaments here that, you know, we play for the same purses we do the rest of the year, and all they can do is, you know, help prepare you for 2017.
Bill, you played pretty good up at Silverado, the first term of the year, top 20 finish. You played the first two rounds with Phil, I saw.
Yeah.
What's it like playing with Phil Mickelson? You know, he's such a fan favorite, but he plays a style of golf. I watched, they televised you guys quite a bit, and I watched it all. And he hit some of the most offline shots that one can imagine, and then the greatest shot that you can imagine. Well, after 2 days, you know, he shot 6 under, and he had the bad half of the draw weather-wise. At times he looks like he's shooting 80, and other times he looks like he's shooting 60. What's it like watching Phil play?
Yeah, I think Phil's one of those guys that you're lucky to get paired with. I mean, he and you're hitting the nail on the head there. He hit some shots that a lesser player wouldn't hit, but then he recovers better than anyone I've ever seen. So I don't know that those bad shots bother him. You know, he doesn't say, oh, I got to analyze my swing or I got to fix something. He just kind of goes to his next shot, and I think he has that confidence that he's going to hit the next one a foot and make par, or even make birdie, from even if he hits it way offline off the tee. So He's somebody that when I play with, you watch. You know, you want to see every shot he hits, and not necessarily just because of the bad shots that might come, but you're also, I think it's a lesson. I think you're learning. You can learn from a guy like him, and that's kind of what when I play with him. That's what I'm trying to pick his brain on chips he hits, or you know, he can't certainly give advice out there when we're playing, but you could say, well, what club do you use there, or man, that was a great shot, and he's usually pretty open about, yeah, I was, you know, that was a shot that I saw in my head this way. And I think he's a playing lesson with the pros when you're out there, in a sense. So he's always fun for me to play with.
And now, Bill, we know a caddy is an important part of professional golf. This gentleman that's on air with you has caddied for your dad for many years, and you have a great caddy. You've had your brother caddy for you. But are you tempted now to ask your mother to go caddy for you?
I know, right? She's a one for one, basically. You know, my mom goes and caddies for my dad, and he wins and hasn't won in a couple years. So I know my dad's tempted to have her on the bag a little more, but and I'd love to have her if she would do it. But she's probably just going to, you know, ride off into the sunset as a, you know, the most winningest caddy out there.
I heard she gave your dad 5% of the winnings.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that works, I think.
So what does it mean to you when you see your dad win?
You know, I've said, everybody says, oh, it's amazing your dad won. And it is. You know, he's certainly older than a lot of the guys out there. But I don't know that it amazes me anymore. I mean, his most cuts all-time made, that was his 27th professional win, Champions Tour and PGA Tour. So I don't know that it is amazing. I think it just shows that his – I think the more incredible thing is just how good he's been for so long. And I know the golf ball doesn't know how old you are when you hit it, but – to be that competitive and that good for that long is pretty incredible to me, when knowing how I feel like I've had a long career and it's only 12 years. I mean, I had to play for 20-something more years just to be where he is. So it's pretty amazing stuff. And I guess I just respect him even more and more as a professional every time he does do something good.
Bill, for somebody who's, you know, for every phase of your career, and we're going to talk about junior golf, and I'm going to ask you to give us some do's and don'ts that the juniors who are listening, that the parents that are listening, junior golf can be really rewarding, but then we can have some things that happen. But what's one couple good things that you learned as a junior that is helping you today?
That's a great question. I was lucky to have my dad. I was lucky to have a Bill Harmon, and that I think in the Charlie Epps of the world, too, teach the game the right way. They make it fun. They make it simple. If the ball's going right, well, the club face must be open, or there must be, you know, simple things like that. And I learned from a young age that I don't think you have to dissect your golf swing for 2 hours on the range in order to hit the first tee ball in the fairway. You know, I think, you know, you go to the golf course with what you have and you try to score the best you can. And a guy like Phil Mickelson we just talked about, I think, is a great example of that. That I don't think it has to be perfect on the range to shoot a good score. And so I think that was taught at me at a young age, was the only thing that matters is that number you write down next to your name on a scorecard. Doesn't matter how it looks or what your swing looks like. It's, you're judged by your score. And I would tell a young kid to just go play more golf. And that's hard. I'm not everybody's blessed with a country club at home to go play and the opportunity to go play 18 holes every day after school. But if you can somehow find little tournaments to play in, 18-hole tournaments or 9-hole events, just to write a score down at the end of the day, I think you learn a lot about yourself as a player and also about how you hit the ball.
That's Bill Haas. We're going to come back, talk a little more golf. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Stay tuned.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
We are back with our guest, Bill Haas. We're also joined by Bill Harmon, who is Bill Haas is his namesake. What's the next question, Bill?
So, you know, you mentioned Brendan Steele winning at Silverado and how that sets your year up. You lost in a playoff last year at Innisbrook to Charles Schwartzel. I don't think the golfing public realizes what a win means to a tour player. They might see the amount of money that you make, obviously, which is a lot. But everything that you do is a number. There's a number on the money list. There's a number on the FedEx Cup. There's a two-year exemption. It's pretty hard to quantify what a win does for a PGA Tour player, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I think you see the question that you get all the time, how many wins do you have? Nobody talks about Jax. I think he finished second 19 times or something crazy along with his 18 major wins. But nobody talks about the seconds. You know, they only talk about how many wins he has. And so winning is all there is when it comes to record books or how you're measured as a tour pro. Did he only win one time in his career, or is he a multiple-time winner? And did he win 10 times? I mean, it just seems to be how we're measured. And maybe that's unfair at times. But, again, I think that just shows you how much how much it means to us when we somehow win. Because, I mean, like you said, in Tampa, I had a great week, but you go up against a guy like Charles Schwartz on a playoff, and you better be sharp or you got no chance.
Bill, you know, a lot of times we don't get to know players. We just talk about golf. What do you do in your spare time? What do you like to do to relax?
Since I last few years here, I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and we were in the car there. I just hopped out of the car because they were being a little loud. I don't know if y'all could hear them in the background, but we were on our way to Saturday morning brunch kind of here, and most of the rest of this afternoon I'll probably be watching a lot of football and hanging out. But if I get a chance to go out and hit a few balls, I might do that because I'm leaving tomorrow for China and need to try to stay sharp. But I do like to get away from the game, that's for sure. As much as we play, I think I heard you mention I've played 300 and something events, so I've played plenty. It's just I think you have to have a good balance and you know, try to enjoy yourself off the golf course as well.
Ben, what are your goals this year? Obviously, it seems like the normal goal for you is to get the win, get to the Tour Championship, make the President's Cup. How are you viewing the majors this year? You want to kind of gear up for those a little bit?
I mean, absolutely. Those are the biggest events, and you can try to treat them like a normal PGA Tour event, but media-wise, and there's much hype that goes into those 4 weeks. They're not like any other event, and I think it just shows a little bit more class of a player if they compete in those events regularly. And a guy like Jason Day, who finally won one but just was there every time he played, I think just shows you how talented he is and how he handles pressure better than a lot of younger guys. And I think if that's one of my goals each year is to, you know, certainly play 4 rounds in them. But I think if you get hung up on making cuts, then that's what you'll do. You'll make the cut near the number, and then you'll kind of hang around 30th place. And you certainly have to have the mentality on the first tee that you can win. And if you don't, you might as well not tee it up.
You know, Bill, your whole career is based on golf, and I just, you know, you've played in 301 events, you've had 50 top tens, but more importantly, you've conducted yourself as a gentleman and really been an idol for a lot of kids. What's one thing that you learned in college that we can pass on to our listeners?
Yeah, I think when I was young, I always knew I wasn't a tour player. I wasn't nearly as good as my dad. And so I think at a young age, I was put in my place when I thought I was pretty good. And then when you got to college, I think you get amongst a bunch of players that are your peers, that are your age, that their goals are to make the PGA Tour. And so I think I I saw a vast improvement in my game playing against the players that were my equal all the time. And 4 years is a long time. Your body changes. Now, some kids don't need 4 years. Your Jordan speaks to the world. They don't need all that time. He was plenty mature and obviously a good player. He could come out early. But the 4 years in college were some of the best years of my life, time-wise and also golf-wise. On a weekly basis, you're playing against really good players on your team, and then you get to stack yourself up against the best college players at the time. And that was the best proving ground for me. You know, I got beat all the time at home, which is also good. It puts you in your place. But you also get to go against, you know, there were players that I was beating in college that they said, yeah, I'm going to turn pro. I'm going to be on the tour. And so I was like, well, shoot, if I can beat you, then maybe I can do this thing. And so I think, and I guess that goes back to me, is putting a score by your name. And I think you, if your score is better than the next guy, no matter how good everybody thinks he is, but if you're beating them, then, you know, you're pretty good too. So, you know, just, I don't know what you can learn other than keep getting better, keep working at it, and enjoy yourself. 4 years of college, I wouldn't trade those for another tour win. Those were awesome times.
Well, that's great advice, and I want you to thank your wife and your children for allowing you to spend this time with us this morning before you go to brunch. Bill, it's always great to be with you. Bill Harmon, I want to thank you this morning for getting up. You're always so insightful. This has been the Charlie Epps Golf
Thanks,
Hour.
Thanks, everybody.
Brought to you by Insperity. Thank you, guys. We're going to be back next week, so turn in to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Sports. See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.